And call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:45. We will recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Patty.
Yeah.
I saw the picture of your buddy on the wall there.
Open the meeting act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Hill will be gone all day. Bauman will be here shortly. Consent agenda. One is the general agenda. Two is approved minutes of the meeting held April 13th, 2016. Approve all claims through April 27, 2016 in an amount of $423,551.15. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve canceling check number 15110194 to CMH Clinics in the amount of $110 due to the insurance payment, and check number 16040137 to the City of Beatrice in the amount of $16,800. Approve utility permit number 1043 for Windstream and Nebraska Incorporated plowing in 1,050 feet of new cable 6 feet deep in the north shoulder of road and boring 66 feet under road to provide service to Rick Bloom residents located in the northwest fourth of section 12 and the southeast.
Northeast, fourth. You said northwest.
Oh, northeast, you're right. Thank you, Denny. Northeast fourth, section 12 and the southeast fourth of section 1. Township 3 North, Range 5 East of Lincoln Township. Approve utility permit number 1045 for Norris Public Power District. We'll be boring a 7.2 KU electric line 5 foot deep under the township road in the southeast 4th of Section 9 and the southwest 4th of Section 20, Township 1 North, Range 5 East of Glenwood Township.
I would move the consent agenda be approved as presented.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Tiemann.
I missed the committee meetings on Monday. Yeah. I'm just wondering, do I want to ask about the check for Beatrice?
That was two claims submitted, and when they processed them, it fell so that it could have been a quarterly payment at the end of this quarter and the beginning, and so that's why they were both processed, but that wasn't the intent. So they're going to submit later on for the other quarterly payment. So it kind of just crossed. It looked like it could have been for two quarters, but that isn't what they were. So that's what that was.
We were wondering that they were paying us that much back for giving us a check back.
I wish. Yeah.
We thought maybe them contracts we did last meeting, that something in there showed that they had to pay us or something. Yeah. No. No.
Great idea.
That would have gone straight to Roger's bonus fund there.
Yeah. Gary.
Myron, under number six, I wonder if we should make clarification. And boring 66 feet under the road. Is it 66 foot under the road, or is it 66 foot long
six
under
foot
the road?
Deep in North Shoulder Road and boring, 66 feet. A distance of 66 feet,
right.
Not 66 feet down under. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no. I know. I realize that, but when you read it, it doesn't.
If you read it, it sounds like they're boring 66 feet under the road.
That's true.
We should add a word in there.
On number seven too, it's probably 7.2 KV or KW, probably not KU. I'm guessing too.
Probably not KU. Yeah.
Guess it's not KU.
It should be kilowatt.
That's what it has here, so I don't know what.
That's what it had in the permit?
No, and I go by what Becky has on the report. So
On number six, I agree with Gary. Let's go with that one first. And boring a distance of 66 feet under the road.
Right.
Let's see here. Yeah, and you probably can find this information on these permits quicker than I can.
Not that anybody would have ever objected to this, but it just...
No, but it,
that's okay.
Let's see,
that's good.
1043, it is depth of 6 feet.
Depth of 6 feet.
Directional bore and plow. Yeah, I don't see anything.
Oh, that's how that's the 66 feet is the right of way from each side, from one side to the other side. That's 66 feet. Well, then we could reword that, I guess. How do you want that? I mean, or do we need to? That wasn't on the permit, or it don't need to be, I guess, on the permit. Cause
well, they just, in the permit, they show where they're plowing down the shoulder of the road.
Okay.
They're bringing it out of the pedestal. They're taking it up to a new pedestal on the north side of the road, and then they're going to bore underneath the road to the south side. And then they'll continue plowing on down to the residence that it's going to.
You're right. It does say KB on here. But
I think, Don, the way you worded it, I think, is good in reflecting it lengthwise, the way you said it. You just said, you spoke.
Yeah, what I read there, yeah. That's what it's, what I read off that roof. Net.
Yeah, 6 feet deep, yeah.
Just add 6 foot, add a depth of 6 foot then?
It has a depth, the new cable 6 foot deep.
That's for the 1,050 feet.
Oh, that's for 1,050. Okay. Yep.
Then boring 66 feet under the road at a depth of 6 foot there also.
Okay.
Correct, Don?
That's what it would be because it does have 6 foot on this report.
Okay. So I think 6 foot's a minimum, isn't it, that they have to put that down?
5 foot below the bottom of the ditch is what it says in the permit.
And the other report does say KV. We need to change the other one.
And the other one, instead of KU, it's K. It's KV.
That road's in that area where we talked about fixing that bridge and road. This won't affect that at all in the future, will it?
No, because this is east of it on top of the hill. The bridge is down at the bottom. To the west.
So do we need to check with fires and team in?
Oh, is that okay with those two corrections?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the motion was to approve, and now we've had two corrections on number 6 and number 7. Vote 5-0 in favor. The regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And this, I think, is where we're more than welcome to talk. Name and address for the record. And
Steve Tark, 23436 Southwest 75th Road. We would like the board to consider to get a speed limit on the Holmesville Bridge before even entering it. We have Wayne Lineweber's cabin, who I spoke to. He's concerned about it. We have the Beatrice Boat and Camper Club right across the road. We have concerns about it. And I've talked to Gail Ruth, and they have concerns about it. It's getting to be quite the busy area, and cars just fly across there. There's no speed limit signs anywhere on that road, I checked. So that gives them the right to do 50 miles an hour. I take it under law. But we would respectfully ask to drop down to 25 if we can.
Gail Luth, of course, would have interest in it because they put that new standing...
Standing Bear.
Or what's it called down
standing
there?
Standing Bear Trail.
Is it Standing Bear or the Ponca Trail? Or
I think it's Standing Bear.
It crosses right.
Yeah. It's everything's just bridge. Right there on the east side. You got two drives and you got the trail, and that trail is being heavily used. I see a lot of people on that trail. So,
well, part of what I think we'll need to do, I don't know, Galen, you chime in here too, is we'll have to get a hold of an engineer, Mark Minnelli, and see what is allowable or what is doable. But we will definitely look into that and see. I know there's certain laws or certain things, and maybe Galen has a better idea than.
We thought there'd probably have to be a study done or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's getting to be pretty dangerous down there. And you got fishermen, you know,
Do people fish off the bridge there?
No. They know better. They know because they will get hit. So we got people fishing off the wall. We got people fishing over by Wayne's area. It's just getting pretty busy.
I think, Myron, that is the first place it would go to the roads department. And Galen would have to go through Mark Minnelli's office. They'd have to do a study on it and then come back with a report. Recommendation, I think, is the protocol that we have to use going by past what we've done in the past. Is that correct, Galen? Okay.
Well, we would be happy with that.
Okay.
No, thank you. And yeah, we will start looking into that. We can't make a motion to do that here at this meeting, but we'll contact our engineer. And if you don't hear something in a certain period of time, call that guy right there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
I had a call again from the ethanol plant, and this is one for Galen Pry. Their new floodplain map,
yep.
That had gone to Minnelli's office. I didn't know. I told them we had a meeting today, and I'd just check with you to see if we'd heard anything back.
I got that back from Minnelli's approximately 2 weeks ago. Their recommendation was to go ahead and send it up to the people in Lincoln, floodplain people in Lincoln, to have them check that over because they found a couple concerns. So I sent that up. I talked to the gentleman up there. They're supposed to look that over and then get back with me on it.
I told them it's not anything that we really do other than just review it and pass it on, if I understood right. But
yes.
But no, I'll give them an update on that then.
Any other comments from the public? Committee reports, building and ground, winter lights.
Nothing new.
Equalization.
We had our conversation.
Finance and insurance.
Myron, just briefly, like I always do, approximately again, Ace Sand and Gravel, $44,000, Township Gravel and Hauling. Beatrice Sand and Gravel for Rock, $6,196, for a total there of approximately $50,000. And the other big one, I'm just looking at the roads department here, was Minnelli Wagner and Associates for engineering, a total of $46,563.17. And this is, a lot to do with Hickory Road, all the surveying and everything else that has to be done goes along with this, and the elevations on this bridge, also with the sizing of culverts that's included in this. We've all the time constantly replacing bridges, culverts, and everything. When that's done, that land area has to be sized for the dam or the culvert, and that's his expertise or one of his people's job. So that's where that big amount of money comes from.
And we do have a item on the agenda later on here that concerns insurance, and that's the WageWorks Flex thing, so we'll be talking about that later. Human Resource Employee Relations, and John's gone today. Law Enforcement Emergency Management.
Had a discussion on Monday. There's a couple of vehicles that have become available. You got something new on that, Gus? We have the ability to buy a couple of 2014 patrol units. The car company that has those is reducing them to move them because they're 2014 model years, and I think this is probably a good opportunity for us to look at updating the fleet. And actually, I see now here that it's in the agenda here in a little while, so let's not waste time here on it. Other than that, I don't have anything other than what Gus is going to talk about here now.
First question I have is, I don't know if you feel that's something you want to discuss in closed session on that at the end of the board meeting. That's entirely up to you.
This here?
Yeah. That's up to you guys. For safety and security, I don't know.
I wonder if maybe we...
It might be a bad idea.
Shouldn't.
Yeah.
Do this in closed session.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought anyway.
Sure.
That sound good to you?
Yeah.
Because it involves contractual...
Yep.
It will be contractual negotiations.
Okay.
Okay. Just on emergency management, Tim's not here right now, but we did have a I guess we're kind of calling it a communications meeting again. We did have it last Thursday down at with the 911 center, and it's basically on looking at updating or looking at our communications equipment in the county and where we're at on that, and had about an hour and a half meeting, and they're going to go with Doug Ostergaard, First Wireless. They're going to try some different equipment at some different places now in the county here in the next month or two, see how they work. But we had a lot of discussion about where our towers are located. Mark Mines drew us a real rough diagram of what we have and where, so that people could have a little better understanding of that. I know some of the squads that were there had no idea that how it kind of maps out or what we have. You know, you just generally, if you're a squad from Philly or Adams, it's, well, our area is working or not working. And then Doug Ostergaard got up and talked to for a little while about some of the different, I'll call it, options available anymore. You know, equipment's just changing all the time. And I know one of the squads that was there, they're looking at updating their handheld radios. Well, they basically come to conclusion they want to wait to see what comes out of this committee meeting with the county, because they don't want to buy a, if the county would go all with, for example, Motorola, and they had just bought Kenwoods, they aren't compatible anymore and stuff. So they're looking at those types of options too. But that's just more than anything to bring it up. The next meeting with that will be in June. So, and hopefully Doug will be able to tell us a little bit more about some equipment and how it'll work. And the other big thing there was Mark Mines knew that on the Ellis Tower, there currently is a channel that it's a, nobody's really using. It was set up between Saline County, Jefferson County, and Gage County at one time. They got all the permits and everything, and it is doable and workable, because Brian Dickey sat there that night, and he had it on his radio and keyed it up, and, yeah, he says it works and stuff. So it would really help out that part of the county, and that's something that's what I took out of it. That's something that's there already that we may not have. That might save us a cost if we have the southwest corner of the county would be able to communicate off of that that channel, because they were going to look in to see what needed to be done to use that, because it's excuse me, that channel really isn't being used at all by anybody anymore. So some of those little things like that come up at a meeting and you go, oh wow, so maybe we can save some cost. But that still is going to take a while to get that all done, but at least we're starting to meet and maybe start to develop a plan. So
did we have any reports? I see Gus left, but on last night as the storm was approaching and they were warning us about southern Gage County and along the line there between Kansas and up to Wymore and Odell, and did we have any information on that yet from last night on whether we're prepared or not?
I don't know if they.
It was northeast Kansas around Bremen. They had hail up to the size of grapefruits, and I think Odell picked up. We had a report of 270 on rain, but smaller size hail. Didn't hear anything yet on damage, but that doesn't mean
they're in.
I haven't had a chance to talk to Tim either, so.
Yeah, I haven't either. I went down there earlier, but he wasn't there yet and stuff, so.
Maybe that means he's out in the field.
Well, either that or he might have had a late night, too. I don't know, so, yeah.
Just a second.
Road and Bridge.
Yes, Myron. Galen set out for quotes on four culverts and the. I'll just kind of briefly go through this. Ace Eaton was low on three of the projects. 1040, which is Wymore, Blue Springs Wymore East one, East 10 in an amount of $17,300. East 21 Liberty, $19,200, and North 36 Elm, cost of $11,340, and then the Ace Eaton bid, which was low for North 24 Hooker, in a cost of $9,267.58. Total for all four projects, $57,107.58. Also, Galen had contact with the railroad. They're going to replace a bridge with a culvert They're going to furnish the culvert. This is just right south of the South Booster Station. The county will tear the bridge out, and the railroad will furnish the culvert. We'll do the work on that. Rock On is now doing number 19 township in the fall allocations. I think it's Sisley. So about one a week township is what we're getting. Paint striping bids will be opened on May 11th. Speece Lewis will discuss that later. Progress on Hickory. The 60-foot bridge deck is done. I think that project there is being close to being done, that slab bridge, and they're going to move next in the next 2 to 3 weeks, gale and thaw, or weather permitting, of course, on that box culvert work. And I think they've started some dirt work, but weather-related probably slowed that up a little bit. Also, this is the final. We've talked about it plenty, many times. Weight limits. We said we would look at them this spring. Galen is going to drive our newly overlaid roads from 2-3 years ago and see if he thinks there is any damage doing from overweight vehicles or whatever. If not, I'd like to move forward and discuss, not today, this is as soon as Galen comes back with the report, discuss the limits we have on those roads right now and see if some of those restrictions can't be moved up a little bit.
Eric?
The rock haulers, too, at a township a month or a week, are they, they're still within their contract time for fall allotment, too, aren't they? Don't they have till sometime here in the spring to finish up their fall bid by their contract?
Yeah, I think it's around, actually supposed to be end of March or April, something like that, I believe. I'd have to look at the contract.
They're closer, though. I mean,
this is closer than we've ever been.
Yeah, I mean, that's something you guys, or we've moved
on. I mean, we've got 24, we're at 19. You know, the next weather permitting, we'll be done with foul allocation. We can start right away on spring then.
And they're, I mean, so they are closer, though. They've
yes.
gotten it caught
closest
up.
Closest we've ever been, as far as I remember, Myron. Am I correct on that?
That's my memory, too. Okay. My memory isn't the greatest anymore.
Major progress, though. I mean, last year at this time, we couldn't say the same thing.
No, we could not.
That's major progress, sir.
So, and I think part of what is showing the budget, too, is on County Rock and Gravel, we're going to be over on the budget in the highway department. But we part of what we've had at our meetings is a conscious effort, and Galen also, of getting caught up from where we have been in the past several years. So, and we realize that in that part of the budget, in that line item, we will be over that budget and stuff. So, anything else or gaining anything? Or later you're going to be here for some things. Yeah.
Tim was in here, but he went outside again, so I'm not able to give us a report.
Tim, Gus, grab him and let's get up. Tim, you want to give a little storm report or anything you know from last night, I guess? Or
really, I was listening to the radio all evening and just kind of had some rain. That was about it. Most of it was to the south and to the southwest. They got the most of it.
Just south of the county, basically.
South in Maryville, and that way they got 2-inch hail, maybe bigger in some areas. Talk about South by, I don't remember where it was, in what town. I can't remember what it was, a little town. South by size hail there. The tornado threat and the heavy rain was over near Thayer County and Knuckles County and that way over there. They had 3 inches early, and there's probably 4 or 5 inches. I haven't checked with the precipitation over there, but
they had some on the news from that area around Deschler and stuff that there was some really good flooding. So
I don't know, we lucked out.
Yes.
Pretty uneventful here. There's a little bit of hail in the rain, but it wasn't when it got kind of heavy, but just a few pieces, and it wasn't too much of anything.
Good deal.
Yep.
Thank you.
Just a regular old thunderstorm.
Yeah. Anything else for committee reports? If not, first item on the agenda, Glennis McClure with presenting the Engage quarterly report.
Good morning. Glynis McClure with Engage. You should have a written report, I think, that was I sent to Dawn. And
yeah, you should have one last meeting and a new one for this meeting, so I gave it to you twice.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. And that was our objective report. And amongst that, then I made note of different items pertaining that we worked on with the first quarter. First quarter being January through March of 2016. It was a really, really, really active quarter. And I wanted to make note that there, you know, there is a lot of things, as we know, on our action plan and strategies and so on. And so, you know, every day is different. There's always, you know, plenty to do. But I want to make a note that the first three objectives I starred this year, and of course, some of this could be subject to change as we bring in a new executive director. The first one being business retention, expansion, business attraction, and then entrepreneurship, small business. Those are the kind of the three objectives I think that are primary to what we do on a day-to-day basis. I want to make note, on objective one in the business retention expansion, ongoing, we visit with companies. We try to find out what issues they are having, you know, what is maybe prohibiting them from growth. Maybe they're happy with where they are. And, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, again, just listening as far as what we can do to, you know, what the community, the city, whoever, what it can do to help them. Had a good discussion with a company yesterday, and, you know, some of the, again, it's a city issue, but, you know, and they're planning to fix a road, but some of the truck traffic causes some problems here in town. But anyway, I also have been asking them, they're interested in connecting with schools, because I think, as I've mentioned many, many times, one of our biggest issues with economic development is workforce and having the right people here to help. Some of these companies I visited with, actually, it seems like I had a streak going where several of them would say, you know, if we had three or four more good people and we could keep them, we could grow. I mean, so one of them talked about cutting back in the services they would provide, sort of cutting back their business because they can't find people to fill what they need to do. So, you know, if you take 10 businesses and they, you know, they could add three or four people, all of a sudden you've got 30, 40 more employees, you know, here. So obviously it's a big issue. So I asked them about their connections and interest in visiting with the schools and, you know, helping, I guess, some of the students in the area understand the opportunities. Yes, it's good to go off to college, you know, earn a degree, earn some, you know, develop some skills, whether it be at Southeast Community College or, you know, another trade school or something, but think about coming back someday. It may not be immediate in your life, but it may be at some point in time. I think it's important for students to understand that there's great opportunities here. And I think it's great. Beatrice Public Schools has really embraced that, and we visit quite often. We've had a meeting with the Department of Education and planning something here pretty soon, where we're really trying to get down to sort of more details on what companies can have high school students do when they're there with internships and job shadowing. And so, you know, we're trying to get down to sort of the nitty-gritty on that. And so we've got a meeting planned in follow-up with Department of Education, Department of Labor, and so on some of those things. So it's a continuous process. Also, business attraction. This last quarter, there were 5 proposals sent out. Last year, I'd counted 12. So just in one quarter alone, it was really busy with proposals. And that's good that we get those inquiries. We get those, somebody saying, well, hey, you know, let's take a look at what you guys might have in your area. So we respond to that. I would say right now there's at least four what I call open projects that are, you know, we're waiting for information back on or, you know, good possibilities to come potentially. And anyway, there's been some really good activity there, but it's just kind of a waiting game, which is kind of frustrating on a day-to-day basis there too. Also, entrepreneurship and small business. We really had a big quarter with that. We had 32 contacts with folks, working with, either coming to a workshop, a training, or even just working individually with them. Just lately, I've worked with a couple people in buying some businesses, and so that business transition and paying attention to that is really critical as well. So again, 32 folks that connected with us in this last quarter alone just with small business and entrepreneurship related topics. People and workforce attraction. Again, the housing study that we were really pretty active with a lot of meetings the last quarter too with a housing study going on. And in May, we're planning to sort of do some more follow-up, wrap up, if you will, on some things there. But we'll have a housing summit at some point in time in May. And of course, the work will hopefully will continue on, and we'll have some opportunities for house, for, you know, more houses and house rehabs to happen. I had an interesting conversation yesterday with a local company owner who said, you know, it is important. We need to have, you know, more houses. And, you know, he plans to step up to the plate and bring in some investors and get some houses built. So that's at least the conversation that I had, and I was very excited about that. But of course, finding the place and, you know, getting it done is the next step. So, but I really believe there's a lot of interest, and there's, you know, been brewing on that. And of course, we'll be keeping track of now what actually happens in regards to housing development as things go along. So really, I'm here to answer your questions as you've read that report, and just be glad to field anything that you'd like to know more about. Again, if you have business connections, maybe there's someone that I haven't visited with. I know I need to visit with Terry and your business. you know, I'm glad to get out and do that and understand what's going on and what your needs may be in business. So any of those connections are always welcome. So, all right.
I think the one time you guys were here when you and Pat and Andrew are here too, you made a comment then about it seems like activity is picking up. And I think when you look at this report and the report you're giving today, I think that shows that.
Yeah, it was really, really hectic this last quarter. But I would say since I stepped into this day one, there's always been a lot to do.
Yes.
A lot to do. So
I think it makes a difference too. And I presume you're communicating with Mosaic and with Region 5 Services. Both of them are buying homes and moving any of the many individuals with disabilities into the community. Mm-hmm. And they also have work places where their individuals are working. And I presume you have some communication with them. I think,
you know, I do need to follow up. Thank you with Region 5 for sure. Yeah, had more connection probably with Mosaic. And also, Laura and I met the new CEO out at BSDC. Very energetic. I think there's some really positive things that'll come from that too. So,
good.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. That's good. We'll do that. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Glennis.
Okay.
Move to place the Engage quarterly report on file.
Second. Do we have a second? Okay. Motion by Lytle, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Next, approve or disapprove having Speechless redesign the Adams Northwest project to HL. I missed one. Sorry. Yes, and I saw her here too. Skipped over one. Approve or disapprove community-based juvenile services grant revised budget and authorizing chairman to sign revised budget form.
Move to approve.
Second. Motion by Lyle, seconded by Thiemann to approve.
A couple weeks ago when I was here getting ready for the financial audit, I said I'd be back, and I am. We received a grant notice or award of $71,326. We do need to move some things around just in their categories, and so that's what you'll see there. The amounts are the same. The match share is the same, which, again, I'll remind you, is money that we already spend out of juvenile services in the county court. And everything's the same. It's just in a different box. So if you have any questions about where that will go to, I will be back again probably in a month or so and have another new contract for the next fiscal year for you. Questions?
Any more questions for Christina?
Gus and I are working on spending some money. So I have some money from last year's grant that I need to spend probably before the end of June. They would like me to get rid of that. So we're over there conferencing about how we can spend that money.
We're going to approve two new cars here, maybe.
Well, I don't think they'll cover that.
They won't let you buy a car.
Yeah. We're going to send someone to training and for a school resource officer, and then maybe pay for part of a
I think we probably need
for the pharmaceutical take back, which we'll have on Saturday. It'll help with that. So
good.
I think we probably need a motion to approve and authorize your signature. I would so move.
No, we already did. Gary already approved, and Eric seconded it. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, any more discussion? Otherwise, we'll vote. 6-0 in favor. Do you need both of these signed?
Well,
she wants. Okay. Now on to.
I didn't know that's what you were making a motion.
Yeah. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove having Spies Lewis redesign the Adams Northwest Bridge project to HL 93 design standards.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Durgan, seconded by Lytle. And discussion here, we do have from Spies Lewis, we do have Don or Galen, whoever we had at Monday, we talked about it at committee meetings, and then he got a hold of them. And they gave us a bid here of a lump sum fee of $8,250 from Spies Lewis to redo that.
Myron, Spies Lewis was the original engineering firm on this project. Yes. So they're the one designed the first design, and so they're familiar with it. And so this is the simplest, cheapest way to go, have them just upgrade the project.
Mr. Chairman, question about the funding, $8,200 here. Where will that come from? How will that be allocated? Because the work was already done. Did we send a bill to Board of Classifications?
I like that idea.
And say, you've now added the cost to this. Again, it was already done. Now we're going to redo it. Does it go to a capital improvement line?
Galen, yeah.
Because this is money that was, we're spending money again that was already spent. And I appreciate Spies Lewis, but where would this go? Does this need to go into next year's budget? Does this go into a basically the project redo? How are we going to do this? Because if there's additional funds come, and I realize shotgunning questions here because...
Well, it's a federal aid project. On a federal aid project, the county is responsible for all the engineering fees up front on it. Now, with this additional, I wish I had a good answer to your question because I really don't know. You know, to get this project done, it had to be updated to the new standards. Okay, this $8,200 fee. I don't have it in a line item in my budget, I know that. So I really don't know where we'll pull it out of.
I guess we could pull it out of Road and Bridge Sinking Fund. There's those bridge and highway dollars that are there. That's probably the most reasonable sense to do that. But then can we add this to our capital improvements? Because that'll go, and it's $8,200, but it's still money that we hadn't.
Mm-hmm. We could use that toward our total. Okay. Anything that's not bond money or, you know, voted on for the people. This is our money, so yeah, we could.
So when we keep track of these projects that have previously been done, well, we have to open the file, if you will, again, and then add this to it. We probably should reinvigorate
the engineering total
engineering fees into the total cost of that project. So
yeah,
okay.
So it's going to be out of Road and Bridge Sinking.
And unless there's any objections, that's to me would make the most sense to do that.
Bridge buyback line.
Those dollars are there for.
So. Yeah. Some of those that you have to use them for specific.
But now this will be something that we'll have to keep on another list because we do get a report that we have to submit when we spend any of those dollars and what they're on. We might try to keep a note of that too, and I'll try to.
Okay.
Just because when we get that report to whether we spent any of those dollars and what it was for, you know, once a year we get that to
yes.
see whether we've spent that buyback money.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
And Matt wasn't here at the committee meeting, but I did visit with Jen Anderson, giving us the Department of Roads to contact that main office, and I visited with Andy Cunningham, who is part of the Kyle Schoenweiss's department, And he was actually at our meeting in September there when we appealed. Eric and I and Galen and Tim Farmer went up there and appealed, and he was actually at the meeting. And his comment, this was his comment only, not nobody else's, he said basically that committee basically told Gage County that, no, you're going to redesign to the new standards. We're not going to give any more relaxation of standards and stuff. So now that was his comment making that, and that's basically why we're moving on with this project. We're not, I think we realize that we're not going to get that changed or whatever, so we need to move on with it so that we can hopefully get this project done in the next couple of years, or at least they start building on it and put it out for bids and stuff. So, and the people up there are very much aware of this project and what it's all gone through and stuff, so they are very much aware of it. So, yep. Gary?
Galen, on this project like this, with, you know, the relaxation and that, who's normally responsible for getting that put together in front of that board in good time?
Well, it'd be up to the highway superintendent. And probably what should have been done when this was, and I don't know what year this was actually initiated, you know, when they come up with this, they, at that time, I know Gage County had, oh gosh, probably say 10, at least 10 federal aid projects up to the state. And they should have took and just took every one of those projects at that time and requested a relaxation on them, and it would have been done. So, on this is what they should have been done.
Okay. And I kind of thought maybe that was it, and it was just a deal where maybe we need to have in place a structure that says we're going to take care of things in a certain order so that we make sure that this doesn't happen to us again. Or I didn't know if it was Speech Lewis to a certain degree that should have been on top of it and they weren't, or.
Well, normally, when I was associated with some prior, federal aid projects, normally when you're, and I'm going back to when they started the RC program and had the LPA involved in it. Normally you work closely with the different peoples up there out of the state agencies, and there's kind of a series of steps you go through, and you fill out the forms of information and you feed the information back and forth. If there's something that they see that should have been done and they don't see it in their file, they'll email you or call you and say, hey, you know, where's your relaxation of standards for this project? You know, and this one here, it was never sent out. And as soon as I went back through the file after going through a meeting with superintendents about a year or so ago, and then I found out, you know, that was talked about, so I went back through the bridge file looking to see if that was done. It wasn't done. So that's when I immediately come and figured I better get this done. Well, then we found out, well, it's too late, you know. Sorry, but it's too late. But I never did get no information back from the project manager through the state for the project saying that, you know, we don't have this in your file up here at the state. So.
And neither did the previous highway superintendent either. I mean, had gotten them.
Not that I know of, no. Right. So. But.
Eric?
Well, like Galen said, there used to be that project manager that would kind of help with those things. Irregardless, I'm gonna vote for this, but you've got a non-elected board, the Board of Classifications. I don't have a whole lot of use for them, regardless of whether something was filed or not. Once it's found, that's when you take it up there and you get a relaxation. That's their purpose. That's one of their main purposes. Every point they made when we were at that meeting was a point in our favor, I would say. This is this is beyond their low traffic. I would call this extreme or severe low traffic bridge. They had it before them already. They didn't want to change their decision, so they didn't. I'm extremely disappointed in them. And hopefully the press will take note of this and put something out there that we have a Board of Classifications. They should be working for the people, saving us all money. they acknowledge that the governor wants to use money more wisely, and this really isn't a good use of money at all. So we're going to go ahead and make the people pay for it anyway. No skin off their back. But we'll stick it to the state taxpayer, we'll stick it to the federal taxpayer, and we'll stick it to the county taxpayer. This is their job. When there's a problem or a... It's not even a problem. It's a technicality that fell through some bureaucratic steps. And because it wasn't to the T, the right form wasn't filled out, we're going to end up paying a lot more money. I don't blame Galen for this at all. Like I say, this was long before he started working in this capacity. But even with the prior highway superintendent, if there is an issue, I think that Board of Classifications should be there to help us, should be there to steer us or guide us instead of stick it to us. And that's what I feel they did on this one. I'm going to stop because I'm going to start getting wound up otherwise.
Thank you. Matt?
Just one last question. Who operates as a responsible charge on these projects now?
Well, now there is nobody. The state has taken them over.
So they... I'm kind of leading you on this one. So when did they start the responsible charge program?
When did they start it? It's back on, I believe, the Barnston Bridge project, which had been, what, about 3 years ago, four?
So they started 9 years ago?
No. Well, I mean when the actual project was built.
And then
it had been about 7 years, eight years
ago. The Barnston Bridge was, it was done when we came on.
That's right.
It would have been more than 5 years ago.
Yeah, I've been in Plymouth 7 years, and I was taking fuel down there, so it had to have been 8 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But whose responsibility was it to create a responsible charge? The county's responsibility we had to designate a responsible charge.
Yes, because we had to go through the.
The program that was instituted that we were supposed to start, that we were supposed to manage, created. I'll let it go. I guess I got too much history. I need to let stuff. Yeah. So now there's no such thing as a responsible charge at the local level.
No, they've done away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
They've done away with it.
So, and the state handles that part of that.
They've taken it all over again, yes.
Luckily, there's extreme efficiency at the state level. And as Kyle Shenowitz is asking for us to give money to Department of Roads to run our bridge programs at a local level, this is a huge strike against that. Why should we give the state the money to run our bridge project when not only... We don't have a good management structure there, but then it's costing more money, less efficiency. I am not sold on giving them a dime for a bridge program that they run.
Well, tell us how you feel about this, Terry.
I realize the frustration on the part of our board. Terry?
Okay, it's time to move on.
Let's vote. Yeah, I know. That was my comment.
We talked about this long enough.
Dog's trying to put food in my mouth.
At previous meetings, I think we've expressed our frustration. Right. And I guess the ultimate... thing is here, we're going to have to redesign it, and we need to move on so that we can get that project done.
Yes.
So that it's still federal aid, and those are kind of going a little bit by the wayside, too, so that we're fortunate enough to get that done here, and that will be a good benefit for the county also. So we have a motion, and we have a second. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor of having Spies Lewis redesign it. So thank you. Approve or disapprove authorizing Linda Grell to sign the tire amnesty grant.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Bauman. Discussion here, Don.
Linda contacted me. Apparently, she had received some conversation from Department of Revenue. They're doing this electronic, and they needed a signature where we don't have any of that information. It came to her, and so the Department of Revenue asked for her signature. She wanted the okay from the board to be able to sign for this program, and they're going to do the tire amnesty August 10th and 11th, you know, depending on how quick they get full. So
and we've already approved
the grant.
The grant that came through Paul Hay.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and they were here earlier, and I think it was in February when they approached us about the grant. So
the grant again. So and I will say this: that has proven to be
a very popular thing out there is
she did
to
tell me that to the last one, there were people in line at 4:30 in the morning already.
4:30 in the morning, and they get so many tons, and I can't remember what the tons was. Paul mentioned it, but they do take all the tons. I mean, they fill up all that quota and stuff. So they usually schedule for 2 days, and some of the last ones haven't lasted the whole full 2 days. So any more discussion? Not vote. That's 6-0 in favor. Discuss and approve or disapprove possible purchase of vehicles for the sheriff department.
I'll just start the conversation. Gus had called me last week or the week before about an opportunity to purchase a couple of vehicles. He sent that email out. Writing's on the wall. CIR has indicated that many things the sheriff does not have management rights. They're going to look at prevalent practice. There's cars and other contracts. When we start to negotiate, we're going to have to do something with the vehicles. So that's there. We've got I asked him to send around the mileage on a lot of the cars. We've got a handful that are in excess of 150,000, at least one that's over 200,000. He believes the six cylinders are fine with the horsepower they're able to get out of them now. So it's an opportunity to pick up some low cost vehicles and improve the fleet a little bit.
The only thing I would add is I think we would have been looking at adding a couple vehicles in the next budget anyway. So this is probably a good move to go ahead and move forward with doing this.
Well, I checked when we started before the issues with the cars and the union. I checked a couple of sheriff's departments, and they have, most of them have V6s in their fleet, and they've had them for a few years and didn't have a lot of problems. Obviously, it's not going to put you back in the seat like the Hemi does, but for that price, that's what I thought important to put that out to the board, because that's a pretty good buy. 2 years old and new.
What are the prices on these?
They were 23.9 something it was, and he brought them down to 1990. Dropped down about. He said he's taken basically a little bit of loss on them, but
yeah. What's mileage on these?
These are brand new.
Brand new.
Okay.
They are 2014 models. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's still going to be the outfit cost of anywhere to $8,000 to $10,000.
Just depending on what equipment
you
put in it.
Yeah. When you take a vehicle and you got to outfit them, you thought there might be the ability, if they haven't changed the model too much, that you can take some of the
stuff. We can try to. Yeah, it just depends what the transmission hump does to us. That's a big factor. So we had some 13s, so I don't know when they made the major change in there. Maybe the 14s will work with. Of course, some of the cars we're getting rid of are 7s and 8s and 9s.
So when we buy vehicles like this, it's not just the cost of the vehicle, it's the cost of the outfitting. Yeah. It's not a lot different when we buy a vehicle for the highway department. You buy the chassis, and then you got to outfit it. So.
Yeah. Terry?
These are pickups, right?
Or no, these are cars.
Cars.
These are cars. Okay. Yeah, the last time we tried to do this, we were going to
have a car.
I mean, Dodge Charger like we have now.
Okay, all right.
We were going to try to get give him one all-wheel drive. I wanted to try that because once it's bad weather, you're pretty much done with the car. But that fell through, and so we never get to try it. These are just a rear wheel, but I still think for that kind of price, thought is we just keep them here, and I'm not really going to budget anything in until next budget for the transition cost, because we put some money in the old ones that I brought out of mothball since we had that ruling from the CIR, and drive them. We'll just drive them until next budget, and then I'll get some money figured in to transition them over.
But relatively speaking, the Chargers have been pretty reliable vehicles.
They have been very reliable cars for us. Motors, we haven't had any problems really on that stuff. It's just they get a lot of miles. We have one about 225,000. I'll have three more well before the end of the year at over 200,000. So it's probably good timing in that sense.
You knock on wood there, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should say that, yeah.
With all the patrol miles and then all the home and to work miles that get put on them, they've been pretty reliable vehicles.
And lots of times they leave them running now because of the equipment in there. Now remember, negotiations coming up. Don't start it off wrong, okay?
I'm just
Myron. The way it looks to me, the price and everything else, even though they're a 14, if they're new, no, doesn't make any difference to me. I mean, it makes sense.
Good buys, and I thought somebody had a number that we'd be saving a little over $7,000 off of the price, or somebody had that number
between
in their committee.
Between the two.
Between
yeah.
the two.
Yeah.
We'll be saving a little over
$7,000. And more than that if you would go with new state bids coming up in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So then, but when you buy a real car, they throw in two Priuses with this, right?
You're jealous because you can't handle one of these Chargers. That's your problem, Mr. Bauman.
Gary,
Matt, where are we thinking we should take this out of?
Well, I guess we're proposing inheritance because it's not in his budget, and you know, it'd be roughly the outfitting cost would probably have to come out of your budget, which would be over.
Well, he just
I'm going to be over anyway.
Comment so. That. You budget the outfitting into next year's? Or
I'll do the outfitting. I'll just leave them parked until we have the next budget year, and then I'll figure out what's going to be the budget to transition over. So
Matt, okay. Myron, I guess I would just propose that maybe we just take the vehicle costs and the transition costs all out of inheritance, and there's no sense to leave them
sit over here. No sense leaving them parked for 2-3 months.
I mean, it's only a couple months, but let's put them
in service. Okay. If we're going to get them, let's put them in service.
I understand that, but the only thing I know is we've got a big project out here we need to use some money there. So I hesitate to take and burn a lot of money out of there. I don't mean burn. Spend a lot of money out of there because of the project we have. Yeah. Going on right now.
Well, the only thing I disagree with Terry on is that the inheritance money is not Hickory Road Fund. I think the money that we intended to use out of the inheritance is already there in inheritance. Inheritance continues to grow. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I seen another $60,000 deposited in there. The last one I seen, the money continues to grow in there. I think that we need to continue to do the things the county needs to do other than just Hickory Road.
This was as of April the 4th. We had $3,235,797 in inheritance. I'll just give my opinion, too. If we're gonna take it out of inheritance, your other option is have them take it out of the budget now and then at the end of the fiscal year, we
transfer some dollars.
Transfer some in there. So you have those two options. I don't.
You do have your tracking then if it's in his budget if you want
why don't
to
we,
track it. Sure.
You know what, Don? That's a good point. Why don't we show that in your budget, Gus?
Yeah. And
why don't we just show that those are there?
Do you want to wait till the next budget to transition or do you mean to do that this budget?
Just do it. Let's just do that and put it, because you do have a vehicle line there. It'll show over.
Right.
Yeah, let's just go ahead. That's a good one.
That's in lieu of vehicles next year, then.
Because it should make a big dent.
1997 LTDs.
We're going to have to go back because I'm telling you that when I sat up there, CIR, with respect to the sheriffs in this state, they do not have management responsibilities. If anything that's considered prevalent practice in a negotiated contract, Gus doesn't have.
And if it affects your pocketbook, that's the key. Then you have to negotiate.
That's very clear.
Well, then we need to maybe think about not getting new cars and start looking at those mid-90s vehicles for them to be driving around.
And then we have more in repair and all of that. You have to weigh everything, okay?
I agree. If we're going to purchase these vehicles, no need to let them set.
Yeah.
Outfit them and be done with it.
Yes.
Right.
I agree on that.
Absolutely.
If you're going to purchase them,
use them.
Go. Yeah.
So to clarify, Matt, you're saying vehicles, and everything goes through his budget. Well, I'm fine with that. Fine.
We can track it this way.
Yep.
We can see how much actual expense we have.
Then
it'll show right there rather than transferring funds in.
Sure.
I mean, if they short at the end, we've got this much we were short. Now we know we need a budget for next year.
When do we take delivery of that Mac truck?
I think this budget year yet, correct?
Hopefully.
This budget year, yeah. Sometime in June.
Supposedly, in June.
Well, it might come with three tires only on it because they won't have the other tire made yet, but we'll get it in this budget. Okay. No.
Well, I mean, there are some things outside of our control when we try to put these budgets together, and just like we're going to be over in the rock and gravel, and you know, there's certain lines that go over, you try to manage that, and things come up, and here's an opportunity that actually you can assign a value to this. A timing
you're
wasn't
saving
best.
Money on it. That's the winner. That's
timing
when
wasn't
brought
the best,
it up.
But the price is right, so you kind of
exactly.
Yeah. How often do you come across stuff like this?
This is the first time ever, and I think it just. The V6, I think everyone said Hemi. That's a big thing for them. But when they showed that price to me, I said V6 or not. That's a pretty good savings.
At least it'll give us a fighting chance too.
With that Hemi multi-displacement motor, when they're running up and down the road like when they're going home after running on four cylinders.
Right.
In.
So. Yeah. They're not using it. It's only four cylinders, that's right.
That V6
oh, get that dig.
Snaps pretty good, too, though.
Saves up crazy power.
Yeah. Okay.
Jerry?
Okay, what is the company that you're going to purchase these through?
Gene Steffi.
Gene Steffi.
Yeah, they're a...
is off of...
It's a state bid.
It's a state bid.
They meet and exceed state bids, and I asked our dealer down here the last couple of years, and they said they must be a fleet dealer, and they can buy so many, they just take a gamble of getting rid of them, which two of them they didn't get rid of, and that's why we're getting the deal. That's exactly what it is.
We bought these from the pickups from this guy. From this
and Chargers as well. Yeah.
But Gary has a question. Yeah.
Okay. I guess my next question is, being they are coming through his budget, do we need to approve the purchase of these, or can Gus just move forward with purchasing them and having them in his budget?
Well, it probably doesn't hurt that we approve it since we know it's going to be over his budget.
Yeah,
we need to approve it this amount.
Okay. This was but not.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess unless you have something more, I guess I'll put the motion on the floor to go ahead and approve it and have it come out of Gus's budget.
As well as, I mean, can you add to that as well as equip them?
Yeah. Okay. The transition costs and everything.
Right.
No ammunition or firearms, just vehicles.
No more DVRs or RVDs or whatever it was.
Wait a second. That's a question. What about all the computer stuff?
That one does. They transfer that from
that one.
That
will be transferred.
No,
do we have enough of that extra computer junk that we can switch out of some of the old
stuff?
You have
a motion. Did you get a second?
No, we don't have a second.
Just your email. Okay.
Yes, that's all there is right now.
Sheriff,
we have a motion by Gary in a sec.
The
light on second by
new computer equipment. Do we have stuff out of our car that has been outfitted with that already, or are we going to have to buy a new? I can't remember what the new computer.
You mean when I trade switch car? No, that all gets moved over.
So there's two cars that are outfitted that will be switched over, and
I think we had 10 of the main marked patrol units have that in. The rest I didn't put them in. I don't have one.
Those were expensive.
They were very expensive.
So we're okay with those.
Yes, we're fine on those.
So it'll just be, I guess what Eric's saying is it'll just be straight transition costs from one vehicle to the other.
Yeah. Not buy any more of those. Huh.
These are pink in color, right?
Yeah, Mary Kay, right. Yeah, okay. Scare my way.
Rather cheap.
No, I think one's silver and one's granite, which is pretty much like we got now, I guess.
All right.
Okay.
Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Discuss and approve or disapprove giving notice to WageWorks, which is our flex insurance, part of our flex insurance, of intent to terminate agreement. And Don, we'll let you.
This would take place of the flex and then the cafeteria program that we have. If we decide to go ahead and terminate, the reason I brought the information forward was our local representative through Aflac is no longer with us, and so I felt that maybe this might be a good time to look at, see what Northwestern Mutual, they, with our insurance, they had mentioned one time that they had a flex program. So they sent me some information, and their rates are cheaper. We have a rate of $5.50 per employee now, plus they charge me a $50 a month maintenance fee. With the new company that they sent me the information on is Infinity Source, their rate is $475 per employee, and there's no other charges. So I brought it to you guys.
That's
to decide
$4.75
per employee. So if you decide
not
to change,
$475.
We could save a few dollars. So.
But the WageWorks, the local representative you had is no longer with the company.
No, and actually that was an Aflac, and Aflac contracted out and turned the flex program over to this WageWorks site.
Okay.
So it's operated through.
But the one you've been dealing with is no longer there. So and with the other bid that you received now, you will be working with somebody local again?
Amber would be our regular insurance people would be there to assist us with it. So it's up to you guys. I just thought I'd bring it forward that you can save a little bit of money on this. I did send everything to Amber. She looked over what our previous agreement was. She said this is exactly the same coverage. Any options that we have would be the same. So it's up to you.
Gary?
How'd you know? Functionality and as far as how the employees have to deal with it, no change. I mean, no stress on our employees through this?
No.
Okay.
You administer this through your office. Mm-hmm. You're the person that does it. It's your recommendation to...
Well, if we can save some dollars and it seems to be the same type of program, we get the same exact services that we were getting from WageWorks.
You're going to administer it, so if you're comfortable.
And I did confirm that with her to make sure we were getting dollar for dollar, apple to apples. Yeah, so.
If we do this, then it's going to affect you.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
That's up to you. I'm just trying to save you some dollars. So.
I'm just saying, don't say, why'd you guys do that?
You ask us to. You're just, the only thing is, you aren't asking what month is she going to come back to us and say, why did we change it? Yeah.
No. From what I can see, the advantage to us is saving the dollars. Okay. So. It's.
Other employee, huh? Huh? Other employee, huh?
Yeah. Well, maybe.
No. Does this include the news media?
Sure.
Okay. Wanted to make
sure. I'll entertain a motion to approve or disapprove.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann. To give WageWorks intent to terminate the agreement, and that is, I believe, a 30-day notice. Mm-hmm. And then before we would, she'll put in place to coordinate it with our new company then.
If something else comes to light, we don't have to give the termination, or somebody comes up with another thought.
Okay. Let's just make sure there's no
lapse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lapse. Yeah. I've heard stories of that happening in the past year.
Yes. Vote 6-0 in favor. Discuss and approve or disapprove options and quotes for our county internet restrictions program. And last time we had some discussion on this, and there were questions about the cost that they had, the numbers we'd seen on that. And since then, Don's looked up or contacted them, and they've come up with an explanation on that.
And I think Matt and I, there was some emails between. $11,000 was for 3 years, and then an additional 3 years. So if you divided that out over six, it was like $2,700 over 6 years.
It was a little over $11,000 for the first 3 years, and then it was the $5,700 each year for the next 3 years.
Well, it was a six-year program, so if you divide the cost over 6 years, then it does look heavy on the front end.
Yeah.
But if you're buying into the program, then it's a six-year program. I guess that's the way I equated it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's as far as cost. Since then, too, also have been visiting with, I know Don has visited, too, also with some of the employees.
Officials.
Oh, elected officials, not employees, elected officials. Some of them are fine with leaving it the way it is.
Or if we went with a new program, they want it still locked the way it is. Or
still blocked the way it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, not to open up. Because there was a comment made that maybe the officials don't want to block it. So the conversation we had was, if you choose to move forward with this, they don't want anything else opened up in their offices. They want it still, the amount of blocking that we have now to remain.
But we could do individual offices then, because Phil from the veterans was the one that came forward and asked for to unblock Facebook, and we could unblock.
You could unblock
this program would allow
for
us.
Him,
yes,
and keep the rest the way the rest of the officials want it here.
Myron?
Yeah.
So this whole discussion is basically coming from the veterans office about the Facebook, but the rest of the officials don't want it, but we're going to pay that kind of money just so he can have it, or what am I missing here?
That's kind of what that's a question roundabout way. That's putting it just to the point, I guess, and not just so he can have it. I mean, I guess part of this program also will have the ability to track, which right now we have none of that. We have no ability to track.
But it's blocked out already, so why do we need to track it?
No, it tracks.
You can track your internet
usage.
We just block certain sites. We have internet usage, but certain sites are blocked, like your Facebook, your eBay, your Craigslist. Those type of sites are blocked. So there's a 30-day tracking, and if this program is implemented, I would sit down at this computer, I would put in a password. If I go to that computer, I'd have to put in my password. So it's person tracking.
But I mean, if it's blocked now, why give somebody the temptation to use it? I mean, if it's blocked now, leave it that way. The way I see it, I don't. That's not business related work.
Yeah, we can still, as an office, we can still get on the internet. There's just certain sites that aren't open.
Right.
And that's one of the sites that are not open. Now, we would still maintain those here, and then if we wanted to track.
But, I mean, they're blocked now, so this is basically for one office, is what this money is going to be spent for. Am I looking at it wrong, or maybe I am? I'm not savvy.
That's why we'll have the discussion here, I guess. Eric has a question first.
If I understand right, he's using a county iPad right now and pirating somebody's Wi-Fi in that office, which I don't know. Is that correct, or am I saying that incorrectly?
That I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. If that is
the case, I really think that should stop. I don't think that's right to be taking that from someone else. If we are going to be running through that office on county equipment, I think it should be going through the right channels instead of using a neighbor's. Now, if he's using his own device, then I suppose that's different again.
Yeah, that I don't know. Unless Gary's visited, I have not visited with him or whatever. I don't know.
I'd have to get clarification as to how they're running. I thought it was off of a personal iPad, which would be personal time or air.
If that's the case, then I mean that's a whole different ballgame.
That's a whole different. Yeah.
Is it cheaper just to get a separate internet access point over there?
Maybe. He has his own internet over there, but it runs through our server.
So was there also not discussion about the ability to block certain web traffic where you could pick up some ransomware? And that's a huge issue. Is our current system safe from ransomware?
We have a firewall, and we have the, you know, the spam and your antivirus. We have all of that we load onto the server. We pay for those licenses for the server. You know, you've always got people out there trying to break into
that. I know,
that,
is there so. Any enhancement in this by being able... I thought there were some questions about some of the program we used wasn't quite as dynamic as what this new one would be.
Well, it would come with its own security also, you know, when you have this. But this is mainly your blocking with your restrictions and your tracking mechanism and the ability to open certain computers up in certain offices. So you have that capability. Right now, we do not have that capability. If it's blocked, it's blocked for everyone that goes through the server. If it's this program, different offices can come forward and say, I need a Facebook account or I need to be able to utilize, you know, that program.
So if we did a separate router over there and a separate line for internet access over there,
it doesn't matter. We have that now because he has Charter over there.
But outside of the router, though,
then you have no protection there.
But he's not hooked up to our.
Right. Yeah. So there's nothing backup. See, everything goes through. It's backed up through our system.
When he wants to access that, then.
I'm not feeling comfortable with this at all.
Well, it looks like to me we still need to have some more visiting yet for a couple more weeks before we really decide to do something. I'll just make that comment because Terry's comment about I don't know either about paying that for just one office, but I think I don't know. To me, you need to look a little bit more at the whole big picture. Right now, we just block everybody's blocked, which is fine. Some of the services with this new one would offer. I'll just say this. It's a lot better than when we put on our blocking so many years ago. I mean, that's in the computer world, 5 years, you're
right.
It's outdated. Basically, our system probably is outdated. It's functional. It doesn't do everything what we'd so-called like it to do, but it is functional. When do you need to upgrade? Do you want to upgrade? And this is a program that an option that is through the years what they've developed and coming up that's a lot better than what our old one is. Eric?
Maybe along with Terry and Matt discussed there, if the other elected officials aren't going to use this, basically if the rest of the courthouse is not going to use this, if it is just for one office, talking to Gary, sounds like that seems a logical thing to have Facebook and stuff over there. Maybe it would be a lot cheaper to just allow him, unless we need to have that tied into ours for backup, just to have just an open line over there Nice phone line or something that goes in, and you can flow stuff in and out, and it doesn't affect the rest of the courthouse. Then we have, I don't know what that costs, $20 a month for just an access point instead of running it through. And there's no, you know, if you don't have those sites on there, I'm sure it helps block possible contamination to the rest of the system. If it's deemed that he needs that, but I mean, it might be a cheaper route just to have his own set up there.
That could be an option. Gary, you had something?
Do we have costs now for the blocking program that we have? What are we paying MIPS? What are we paying MIPS now?
I'm not sure. It comes in with several other things. I don't know.
I'm sure we're paying something for that now. So
probably. It's extremely old. So I don't know what that bill. What it was or what it is.
I guess the only additional thing that I have that I would is that as a voting member of the public, I would challenge the rest of our elected officials to look at advancing their offices and using social media to get information out to people. Also,
yeah,
there's a lot of ways that social media can be used. I mean, people are always getting on their phones or their computers to get information, and there's stuff that comes out of the treasurer's office or Patty's office and even your office, Don, where if we had some website that they're able to pop up and look, they can get the answers rather than coming in and having to make a trip into the courthouse.
I think you're going down a place where there's going to be open up some doors. There's going to be a lot of wasted time. I wouldn't go there myself. So I see everybody's on their phones nowadays, and I got to say.
And I will have to say, you know, that doesn't mean that some of our offices won't have a Facebook eventually, but as far as just to open it up for the sake of opening it up, until we make that determination, nobody really cared to do that.
It's kind of interesting. Our attorneys came in, two out of three pulled up their phones the minute that they sat down to check them. So,
I will.
And the guide, he didn't know how. So,
I'll make one more comment. Part of what, attending a few meetings here with Tim and stuff, and the City Beatrice are updating basically what they call their flood plan here for, and they're going to come out with that here in the next, I don't know when or whatever. But one of the things in that was that they found out from last year's flooding was how you communicate with the public. And they do, some of them listen to the radio. Well, the paper's two or three days old, so how do they go around a route that you just closed or whatever? And I can't remember what site or whatever. They found out that the most efficient way that people want instant news. They want it instant. The most efficient way was, and I can't remember the name of what site they were using. They needed to put it out on some part of their city website, and it was something with that. And so people that, you know, they are all going to Facebook, this route's closed, they go that way. You know, we don't, and I'm not saying we're behind in times, but we don't have that ability, I guess, in the county. We don't have any Facebook out there that, let's say we have another flooding issue, and we haven't as a county discussed anything how to communicate better with floods, but you know, we could put in there 10 o'clock Wednesday night, we're going to close the DeWitt Bridge because that's the level where we flood. You know, and this is the way, what the people wanted from that flood last year here in Beatrice was, they wanted to know, okay, you close this, now where do I go? And we had a lot of issues with, well, they took the Holmesville Road down there, then we closed the Holmesville Road, and part of the issues we had with all that flooding was, well, then which way do they go? You know, where do they go once that's closed? Because the state didn't, there again, State Department of Roads wouldn't put any signs out there, so we had to go out there and block that, you know. Some of those things, and I'm not saying we're behind times, but we haven't developed with the times. And the other thing is, the younger people, younger than all of us sitting in this room, except maybe Scott, those people, that's how they communicate anymore.
Well, last night's a good example of that. With all the information on the storms, and where are they, and how are they going to hit us, and where is it going to hit, and
And I'm not saying when, but at some point in time, we as government, we need to. How do you make it more available, more user friendly for the public? There's a cost. There's going to be a cost to it. But are we doing enough now to get out there to make our county more user friendly for the public? I don't know.
And understand, I'm not a big fan of, I mean, I got a Facebook account, but I got to ask my wife and daughter, okay, how do I do this on
there? Yeah, me
you know,
too.
I'm not a big fan of it, but I do see where it yes. gives us some opportunities.
Eric?
We do have a Facebook page for the Sheriff's Department, I think. That'd be a good place to put all that stuff out. And if we do need to have more workload placed somewhere instead of hiring more staff, the sheriff has some idle people that could try and information.
Absolutely. Yeah, Eric, yeah. You got it. Yeah.
Actually, Myron, I was going to mention on our Facebook page, because I'm not a fan of either, and I'm old school, but I'm like, why can't we know we have to have it? So we put one on our website, and I have only about two people that can get on it and do it. We solved one crime on it off of it already. On the flooding last year we put that stuff on our end. People wouldn't listen to it anyway. They did their own thing. And I kept getting swamped with calls, thinking they might look at the Facebook. So it wasn't really as good a deal as I thought it was going to be, but we tried.
Yep. But I mean, if you solved a crime already on there, so that is, I mean, I see that on the news where sheriff's departments do get input back and forth there. But we do have that instant communication to the public from a county office already.
I think we'll put this on the agenda again for next meeting. I know it's not beating a dead horse, but I mean, I think unless people want to vote on it, if somebody would like to make a motion now, we'll entertain a motion to approve it or disapprove it. I'm ready, but otherwise I think let's wait another 2 weeks and have some more conversation with Don and some more elected officials and time to think about it. But there's some good points made today. So anything else? The only other item we have on the agenda is a closed session for litigation update and also now for something that the sheriff's brought forth with contract negotiation. But we're going to take a 5-minute break before we go into closed session. So, but I will entertain a motion. It's 10:06 on the clock at 10:11 to go into. Can we do that? At 10:11, have a motion to go into closed session. Take a 5-minute break, or should we? When we do that, when we come back.
Come back.
When we come back. Good deal.
In case it takes longer.
Yeah.
We're back on. It's 10:15 on the clock. I entertain a motion to go into executive session at 10:15 for the necessary for the protection of the public interest or for protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Vote. Denny.
Denny.
Yeah. Denny's out.
6-0 in favor.
Okay. I'm with Denny on this one. I would have never guessed that.
Ready? Dave.
We're on back on the clock here at 11:20. Entertain a motion to come out of executive session. 11:20 on the clock.
So move.
Go second.
Second.
A motion by Byers, seconded by Tiemann. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Anything else for the good of the order?
Or the bad of the order.
Like bad of the order.
Like not, to tell Don,
we'll adjourn
thank
at 11:21. Oh, sorry.
Did you adjourn us already? I was going to tell Don thank you on administrative professional.
Oh, thank you, Eric.
Professional, but
I'll call Doug.
Don, professional.
Professional.
Sorry.
Professional. Thank you.
I didn't get.